From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of October 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com. Did you know Colombia is the number three export market for corn? We'll talk about that for just a bit today, and then we'll turn our attention to the agricultural energies. Dave Chatterton will be here from Strategic Farm Marketing, and we'll wrap things up today with a discussion of the weather forecast, as usual, with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, where right now you can purchase your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day at $4.19¾. That finished 3½ cents lower. The March contract at $4.33¾, down 3¼ cents. In May at $4.41¾, 3½ lower. November beans, $10.30¾, a penny lower. January at $10.48½, down 1½. And March soybeans at $10.62¾, a penny and a quarter lower. Bean meal down, rather up $1.90. The bean oil, 66 cents lower. Wheat futures, December down 4½ at $5.25, and the hard red December at $4.85, down a nickel for the day. Live cattle futures at $245.42½, up $1.77½. Feeder cattle at $370.27½, $1.10 higher, and the lean hogs were up $1.20. Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing now joins us on this Tuesday to take a look at the marketplace. Hello, Naomi. Thanks for being with us again.
Yes, always a pleasure. Thank you.
It has been a beautiful couple of fall days. Finally, fantastic. A little sunshine, a little wind, which is normal in the fall. Things have dried out. We had rain over the weekend, which helped producers put a little dust back down and make it easier to harvest and moisture back in the crop a little bit. Can you tell me about what the marketplace has been doing in response?
Well, we are with still quiet marketplace overall for corn and soybeans. Looking at the corn market here, December corn continues to trade in a very lackluster range, where the 410 area on December corn is big support. And then every time we try to get up to 4¼, we fall flat on our faces. And that's exactly what happened last night. We got up to about 424.5 as the high price, couldn't get through that 425 number. So markets today posted a little bit of an outside bearish reversal. My thought is that we'll probably meander back down to support levels just because of a lack of fresh news to trade on. Fundamentally, I still feel like December corn holds that 410 support area. If we do get back down there, I do think that that would be a re-ownership opportunity and a buying point on charts to be watching. And with the beans, they have been pushing higher for about 5 or 6 trade sessions, and today finishing just a little bit lower. So the November contract has good support at $10. Resistance had been $10.25. Yesterday and today, though, we were able to close above $10.25. But just again, just don't have a lot of fresh news to get us to go blasting higher from here. The weekly export inspections yesterday were very supportive overall. We are moving product, but without those USDA reports, just hard to find fresh news to really trade on, relying on farmer information on yield and keeping an eye on basis levels. So I would expect some more quiet sideways trade here in the coming weeks until we get this government reopened and those USDA reports flowing again.
On the basis side, I suspect you're checking maps and asking folks what basis is doing in their area. Does it reflect a less than crop, as many had expected in Iowa?
Well, in certain places, we are seeing basis improvements, and then it'll improve for a couple days and then just be stagnant for a while, I think, as some of the grain comes in. Last week, we saw basis improvement at the Gulf, and I think that made sense when we had those decent export inspection numbers yesterday, just to, again, confirm that product is moving out of the country. So that explains why some of that basis had firmed up at the Gulf. And now we'll be, I'm guessing, quiet basis numbers here as the last of harvest gets underway. I think the general assumption in the trade is that the The bean harvest is probably getting pretty close to wrapped up based on farmers I'm talking to. And I would say that the corn crop out there nationwide, definitely halfway done. I'm not quite sure how much advanced it is beyond that. But as the last of that corn comes in, that'll probably affect basis levels. We'll see if it widens out or not, or if it stays firm just because of this cheap value that's there. And then, of course, the industry still continues to, I think, overall believe that this yield is definitely going to come in lower than USDA projections. The question, of course, how much lower? And for that, we'll need the USDA reports to give us some insight.
It would be nice to have the November report. We'll see whether that can actually take place. We'll soon get to the point where it would have to be moved back if it were to take place, and the government hasn't opened back up just yet. Or we'll continue looking forward to December, one of the two. So we'll go through those numbers. What's on the world stage that you've been watching? There are all kinds of things. In fact, I was wondering if you had any thoughts about trade with Colombia, the number three export market for U.S. corn. And it's been that way for more than a decade.
Correct. I would say that any news or threat of losing some trade exports to Colombia would be negative for the corn market. So we will want to keep an eye on that conversation for sure. But, you know, what I'm curious about is how much specifically a grain, of course, has been sold to these countries. Of course, that we can't see. But these export inspections, you know, coming in just so strong. So what actually has left the country? So we are above the seasonal pace needed to reach the USDA projections, but it'll be very interesting, to your point, Todd, to see who has bought what, how much have they bought, how much of what they bought has been leaving the United States as harvest is getting underway. And we're always, always, of course, concerned if we would potentially lose any export business to any of these countries who have been our main customers due to ongoing tariff threats or trade negotiations.
Speaking of trade negotiations, how concerned, if at all, are you that President Trump and President Xi will actually meet at APEC and talk soybeans, that is?
Yeah, so that's, of course, the question, you know, and every other day it's, are they going to meet? Aren't they going to meet? You know, we're still looking to see how much of the beans that China needs to secure for December or January. Trade talk was that they still needed to purchase 8 or 9 million metric tons for the winter timeframe, early winter timeframe. So the hope still would be that they buy from us. But again, as the trade negotiations and just the daily drama between the United States and China continues, that could still be at risk. So we're going to want to definitely keep an eye out for that in the coming weeks. It is paramount and top of mind for soybean and soybean prices.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
That's Naomi Bloom. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Just one quick agricultural news item for the day. The blow-up this week with Colombia could have blowback for corn. President Trump's war on drugs in the Caribbean could put the third largest export destination for U.S. corn in peril. The president announced Sunday that new trade sanctions will be levied sometime this week against the Latin American nation. It is already subject to a 19% reciprocal tariff. USDA reports Colombia purchased about 275 million bushels of the feed grain from the United States last year, or $1.5 billion worth. Colombia has been the number three corn export destination for more than a decade. The U.S. signed a free trade agreement with it in 2012. Total U.S. agricultural exports to Colombia have increased by 309% since the agreement was enacted. The top 10 U.S. agricultural products exported to it in 2024 by value were corn, soybean meal, ethanol, pork, distillers' grain, soybeans, dairy products, other feed, wheat, and soybean oil. The U.S. imports coffee and cut flowers from Colombia, among other products. Let's check in now on the agricultural energies with Dave Chatterton. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign County. Hi, Dave. Thanks for being with us today. What have you been watching as it's related to the energy market in the last month or so?
Yeah, Todd, been a really interesting market. If you kind of look at what's happening, we are higher today, but we were lower six of the last eight sessions, coming into today. And I've seen some pressure on the market. Really, we're setting up for what's going to be our third month down here. We've definitely got a downtrend in the charts and the technical aspect of the market. And I think, part of that, comes from a fear of a supply glut. We've got OPEC sharply increasing their production here month to month and bringing all the production cuts that they had put into the market back online. We've also seen, floating storage of the number of vessels loaded with oil on the water or in transit hit a record high, over 1 billion barrels. So we have people like the IEA out here talking about, a large surplus for next year, as high as 4 million barrels per day, more supply than demand, and demand growth just not keeping up with that supply side. So it's really pushed these markets to to some values we haven't seen in a while. And maybe a good example is just diesel fuel futures. Right now we're talking, in that 218, 219 per gallon range. And we had a low last week at about 212, but that's really, that's about as low as we've been here going back to the COVID time period during 2019 and 2020. And so, getting some levels here that I think are definitely catching a few end users' eyes as far as, what constitutes value looking forward. And market trying to sort all that out in a geopolitical element here that involves sanctions or potential sanctions against Iran and Russia. We've got the Russia-Ukraine war ongoing, and Ukraine increasing their attacks on Russian oil infrastructure. So, as always, a lot going on, but it has a very bearish feel here at the moment, Todd.
How bearish do you think it might be, and what does it mean for farmer producers who mostly have gotten all their supplies in place for the 2025 year already, and that's kind of done, but looking forward into the planting season of 2026?
Yeah, so for 2026, definitely, looking forward at this point and trying to kind of keep our eyes open. So, if you look at cash diesel fuel on the farm, number two farm diesel running about 285 here, this week, and that's near the bottom of that, like as we mentioned, that whole post-COVID range. And before that 2020 period, you'd have to go back to 2016. So you definitely want to be watching here. We had some price targets for our end users down in these areas. We've kind of held off for now, Todd, on both the LP and the diesel side. But I think you have to be cognizant that things can change very quickly. And as a risk manager, I think at some point as we approach that, $2 mark for futures or below, it's sort of rarefied air to stay below that level for much. So in the next, let's say, 15, 20, 25 cents here, I think we're going to go ahead and recommend some coverage here, both for spring and fall of next year. So kind of a hands-off moment here, but definitely watching very closely and getting ready to maybe click that safety off the trigger, if you will.
What do the charts tell you about pricing for this marketplace, or maybe the cycles?
Yeah, so seasonally, this is the time of the year that we would actually be looking for a little bit of a price high, and haven't quite got to that, at this particular point. And I should say, we look for a price low coming into October, and then a market that rallies out through the end of the year and into the early part of next year. And so that's part of the calculus here of, seasonally, that would normally come here in late October, early November. We're right in that time period. We've got the market trending lower here. Some important technical numbers below the market. I mean, we're below $60 in crude. We're, moving towards $2 in diesel fuel. So again, I think if you want a lack of a better term, the stars are lining up here just a little bit. We've got some U.S.-China trade negotiations this week between Secretary Bessent and his Chinese counterparts, and hopefully at the end of the month here between President Trump and President Xi, that are going to complicate things here a little bit. Those are often turning points in the marketplace. And if you remove a little bit of that uncertainty and have the market feel a little bit better about global, trade, growth, prosperity, inflation, and those kind of things, I think that would be the key to maybe turning this market just a little bit on.
The crude oil market, energy market in general, has been moving lower since 2022. We're down at the bottom end of the range, which really we've made a couple of times, frankly, this year in April and May, I suppose. Are we looking at a range bound trade, do you think, for crude oil that's in that $55 a barrel range up to what? I don't know. 76, 77 or something along those lines.
Yeah, and of course, that's a pretty wide range. And, you know, if we go back and look at the recent lows here, trading today, let's call it $58. And you go back and look at, you know, the lows from earlier this year, 55.30 in May. And I think we had a low at right around that 55.10 mark in April. So, whether or not we can hold those is going to be pretty important here. But the upside seems a little bit challenging here with the amount of production that's coming onto the market. And as these ships kind of unload their cargoes eventually and around some of these, you know, new shipping tariffs and whatever, we're going to see these inventories kind of want to swing up through the first part of the year. So I do think there is a cap on the top of the market, which supports this range bound kind of idea of where we're at. And, you know, what the downside ultimately ends up being. And, you know, just like in the grain markets, picking that bottom, if you will, is always a very tough and dangerous and often costly kind of an endeavor. But it feels like we're in a range here where the downside is getting limited and the risk is certainly skewing to the upside.
What does it mean for the ethanol market when prices go this low?
Yeah, well, ethanol value's definitely been, you know, coming down as we, you know, as they attach themselves to crude oil and the refined fuel markets as we get look forward here. Plant margins have suffered because of that. They're still positive. We're going to calc them, if you want to put a general number on it, probably around 30 cents a gallon net of all costs here. But that's down nearly, let's say, half from the recent highs here. And, you know, we do have a pretty strong export market there. They are on pace for a new yearly record here, but we need to keep that up. And, you know, again, it's kind of swinging down and tied. It's very, you know, tied at the hip to what's happening with the grain markets and the oil markets. And with the pressure coming from the oil market and not a lot of rally in that corn side just yet, we're feeling a little bit of pressure here. Now, production has been good. Stocks have remained relatively high. But so it's, you know, turnaround season is really closing up right now. We're looking at some production numbers starting to ramp up as we get ready for spring and summer usage next year. So, you know, it feels like a range-bound market there as well, Todd.
And finally, we don't usually talk about the grains. You did mention corn. Of course, we were talking about ethanol. The marketplace has been, I guess, lackluster, trading sideways, relatively speaking, since there have not been any USDA reports. What are you thinking about that marketplace?
Yeah, Todd, corn is up, you know, in rough terms, let's just say Dees corn is up about 6 cents since the shutdown 3 weeks ago. And then when the government data stopped, we are getting some of the weekly EIA data, which is helpful, you know, similar to what we're getting for export shipments in the grains. But the market has some challenges here. We certainly have good demand for corn right now. We've got good demand, you know, in the export side. We've got good demand in the ethanol side, and feed is holding its own here. But the path for the USDA to increase off of, you know, demand for 2026 that's already at a record, you know, 25-26 crop year that's already at a record projection is somewhat limited. And so without having the government reporting on supply and where yields are going to be, I think there's a general consensus that, you know, the USDA has to come down on their yields to some degree, but I don't think it's to a degree that really gets us that changes the narrative a whole lot. And finding a spot where you can work your carry out down towards and or below that 2 billion mark is really tough. So a little bit of a challenge on the upside to corn. I don't want to say that I'm super bearish. The market has performed relatively well here, but just not a lot of incentive to be long a lot of corn from a speculative perspective right now. And, you know, I guess we'll see if a trade deal is possible, but no indication here that China really needs or wants any corn from anyone at the particular moment. And again, we kind of maxed out the drivers on the demand side from the other aspects here. So we're going to watch the weather in South America. I think that'll be your next key, but more bean-centric here than corn in the near term.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There and on the FarmDoc website, and maybe you should go there first, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You can sign up for the Farm Assets Conference and the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those are coming up in the month of December. But first, there is this Thursday an important event, a free webinar that you can sign up from the FarmDoc team, looking at the impact that government closures have on agriculture. You'll want to make sure that you join the Farm Doc team to discover what this really means for agriculture across the board, especially as it continues to drag along and doesn't look to end anytime soon. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hello, Don. Thanks for being with us. Sounds like, well, already is, a lot cooler than it was. What happened that brought us this cool weather?
Well, we're finally just playing with Mother Time, where the odds of getting colder air leaking out of Canada just get higher and higher the deeper we go into the month of October. And we're going to see another shot of colder air come in as a system that is now up in south-central Canada heads up into the northern Great Lakes and eventually New England. And the backside of that system will allow winds from the northwest to blow, pushing in some colder air. So we're going to see some temperatures going at or below freezing over a large part of the northern plains, parts of the northern and western Corn Belt for both this upcoming Thursday night and Friday night.
Any hard freezes, meaning 28 degrees for 2, 3, 4 hours overnight somewhere?
There's going to be, yeah, there'll be some of those areas. I certainly think that along and north of Interstate 80 is where you're going to see those coldest temperatures. You get south of there, we may not be that cold. But a lot of it's going to depend on what the wind and the clouds do at night. And this is the situation that low-lying areas, places a little bit lower, you're going to get a little bit colder in some of those pockets.
That would demarcate the end of the growing season, though it's probably not much of a worry. About on time, I would think, for the northern part of the Corn Belt.
Yeah, you know, one thing that we've seen here in the month of October is we've had a lot of active weather, but one thing we haven't had is we haven't had that big wave of cold air coming out of those higher latitudes and pushing deep into the U.S. Now, I think before the month's over and into early November, that's going to happen, but we haven't been caught this year with an early widespread hard freeze, at least on a widespread basis. So from that standpoint, it's been a fairly gentle October, at least when it comes to temperature.
Cooler, cold in some places. Will we have any more rainfall?
Yeah, certainly as we get into the early parts of next week, we're going to see a pretty significant storm hit the Pacific Northwest this weekend. And what's left of this storm is going to move very quickly into the central and northern plains early to mid next week. And it will likely be a pretty good rain producer, I think, especially for the central and western Corn Belt. Some of the eastern Corn Belt will likely get wet out of this as well. And as you get up into the northern Great Lakes, maybe parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin could see some snow out of that system.
On the snow, I wonder, because you're there in Wyoming, and I know you keep pretty close track of this snowpack for the wintertime. Are there any indications what that might look like?
It's off to a good start in the northern Rockies. You look at what snow has fallen during the month of October in the mountains of Idaho, Montana, western and northern areas of Wyoming, back into the Pacific Northwest. Certainly those areas have had more snow so far than they did at this time last year. So the central and southern Rockies, like Colorado's drainages, they've got a little bit of snow as well. So it's a decent start to the snowpack season and better than it was a year ago.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
See you then.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.